Sometimes when we're engaged in these conversations, we often notice that we are having to define our terms and the words that we're using. In the dialogue that I had with Josiah, I noticed that we sometimes, when we say spirit or spiritual, we have to explain our versions of understandings of those same things so that we can understand where the other person's coming from. And then with that additional understanding, we can either meet in the middle or at least have an understanding or an insight as to where this person's coming from. And so I think that's essential to understand that, because we each of us brings a filter of how we see the world based on our life experiences. And whether it's a Bible writer or any book ever, we're each bringing our perspective. That's what makes it unique. That's why we go to another source or read another perspective to add to ours, not to truncate ours or paint ours as lesser or bad or less right, but to add. Because even when it's someone else's truth, we're kind of empathetically writing their life and hearing their experiences so that we can see how they're coming to that same conclusion. Even our ability to do that is through our own filter as well. And I think that's fundamental to understand it, because you can't get away from that. It's like, unless you're going to do away with your entire memory process, it's a personal growth thing, I think, to realize that you have a filter, you have a perspective, you have a lens, all that coming through what we call the mind. And so without understanding that, sometimes we just in general, say things are just absolute, when we're really saying, I feel strongly about the conclusion that I have come to based on all the resources and evidence that are in my lane, that I'm most common with, that I most go to, that speak the same thing to me over and over again. And it's unique. And I know I'm going a long way around, but I think it's important to set up why we give the answer. The answers that we give come from multiple resources, and they all converge to the conclusion as to why we believe what we believe. And that's why stories are so important in describing or telling deep truths, because you can ride the story and not take it as a personal attack, but ride the story, enjoy the story, see some personal connections in your own life, and then come up on a conclusion because it was revealed in the story. And that's why Jesus spoke in stories or parables, and why many major truths are conveyed in that line of or mode of teaching. And so understanding that I have a personal filter on how I see things, and I know I'm recapping some of the things I've said in the dialogue with Josiah, then I understand when I come to this teaching here that we're talking about, Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, I can realize and understand that I can understand that phrase from many different perspectives. I can understand it from the church perspective. I can understand that from what it personally means to me kind of perspective. And so none of those are wrong, but it's like attacking a pizza. I can attack it from this angle. I can attack it from this angle. No matter what, I'm eating part of the same pie. And it matters not the approach that I take. It's the same thing, just coming from a different perspective, a different angle. That's a hard concept, because sometimes in our own mind, we think we have the absolute. But what we have as far as an absolute is what we have personally discovered thus far in our own personal journey. And that is our personal absolute. And it doesn't go outside of us. But it feels like my outside or my complete understanding is the truth about all there is everywhere for everyone. And that is a hard thing to rise up to the next level of consciousness to realize, hey, that was just my personal interpretation at that moment in time. And so being aware or being born again or enlightened, being enlightened with Jesus or this higher consciousness, different words describing the same thing as being born again or denying the flesh or the ego. It allows me to take a higher view, and that higher view allows you to not condemn other views, but to see them as small tastes, small slivers of the pie, a piece of the whole. So I'll try to narrow it down to, when I understand that Jesus is the way, and I think about his life, the essence of his life, everything he did, whether it's turn the tables because they were taking the things of God and making it an opportunity to grow rich, or When I think about him talking to someone of a different culture, of a different faith, a woman like the Samaritan woman, when I think of all the traditional ways we thought God was and expected us to be, and he broke those boundaries, and I scoop up the essence of that, and then I say, you know what? He says we must be perfect like our Father in heaven. He says, look at the sun. It respects no one. It just comes. And he says, look at the rain. It rains on the evil and the good. The sun shines on the evil and the good. Even so, you must be perfect like your Father in heaven. And I take that, and I can take some of the things he said, and then take the essence as well of the things that he did that transcended their limitations of what they understood God. And then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then I'm understanding that the way that he lived is the way. This universal presence of love that respects no man, that sees all people as we see ourselves, loves your neighbor and yourself. Love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. And this is all the law and the prophets. When I kind of understand that from that higher perspective, rather than trying to get down to a specific 613 commandment law, which is what we again try to do with something as free as life in the spirit and grace, then I understand the higher perspective that transcends the individual realities. Jesus is the way, meaning his life is the way. The way he did things is the way. It's the truth. Your neighbor and you are one. It's the truth. His way is the truth, because it wasn't religion that he was teaching. His way of living, his way of thinking about people is the truth, that we are children of God, offspring of God. All of us are, regardless of your religion, regardless if you're a leper or you're a Samaritan woman or you're a religious person or a tax collector hanging out in the tree. We're all the same. None of those things really matter. It doesn't matter what walk you come from, what life that you're living. We're all children of God, and love is the solution to all those things that separate us and divide us, whether it's our religion, our roles in society, or whatever. So the reality is, or my interpretation of understanding what Jesus is saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. His life essence is our life essence. We're all children of God. He was the Son of God. God spoke, the Word came. You encapsulate the Word in the flesh. It looks like Jesus. And we are that. And he provides an opportunity, a model. The reason why he came is to show us who we truly are, show us what it looks like to believe that you are, which is love in the flesh. So I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life means those things to me. And then he says, no one comes to the Father but by me. What he's saying to me is, no one comes to a relationship with the Father, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. No one comes into this relationship through your religion, through your egotistical approach, thinking you're superior or even inferior. No one comes into a relationship with God outside of just walking in transparent love, seeing and believing and doing what you are, love. It seems like a stretch to say, no, it's about believing in him as a person and the particular name Jesus. But if I see and sense the message of his life, the essence and the truth, it was about love that transcends all our ideas about God. Love transcends our ideas about God. It's always too good to be true. It's up on a higher level, but it includes everyone of a different walk. There is no slave. There is no male or female, and all those things that the higher essence of this truth reveals, the higher essence of what Jesus is teaching, it's love. I take love and I put flesh on it. It's Jesus. I take love and put flesh on it. It's you and me if I believe that that's who I am, a child of God. And so I am the way, and the truth of life is not a point of religion. It's a higher perspective of love that transcends our old beliefs about what love is. It's a higher perspective about God that transcends what our old beliefs about God are. And that's what he did to them in their day. And so when you get someone like the Apostle Paul, who has a personal experience with Jesus, and the very thing that he thinks he's defending is he's now on he's on the opposite team. You know, his whole world came crashing in when he experiences this universal presence of love, this God who's greater than the religion that was the religion at the time.
he begins to leave his religion. He says he counts it all as rubbish, you know, for the knowledge of Christ. Because the knowledge of Christ means your religion does not matter anymore. It's not a newer religion. It's about this way of love. It has a name, Jesus, because Jesus brought this to us, but it's higher than the name. It's simply love. And so we get to know the Father in an unadulterated form through Jesus, because it's simply a message of love. And that's what we're getting, is unconditional love. It came through the man Jesus, but it can come through you and me when we believe in that higher truth. If I don't take it to that high level, as I call it, as I label it, then I have another thing, just a newer version of the same thing. I have exclusiveness. I have you in, I'm out. I have, what name did you use? And I don't see the fruit of God's Spirit in your life because you're not using a particular name. And so we see God's Spirit in people that don't have our name, that have a different religion. They display love. It's the essence and the nature of God, regardless of who you are. If they give love, if they take care of their family, if they're doing things to change their community, but they have a different name, all of a sudden we lose God because he doesn't fit the prescription of our religion. And I know I'm recapping on things I've said in a podcast, but I think it all ties in together. Then we miss God in his fullness because we don't see the name, that one name. And we get tripped up in that one name when we misunderstand that in the name is a deeper essence. It's a deeper truth. It's about love. Jesus came to say, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. In this is all the law and the prophets. And so him living a sinless life, or him taking away the sins of the world, becomes important to us when we understand that he's showing us how to live God in the flesh out, as being imitators of God, as followers of God, as children of God. This is how you do it. He says, you must be perfect like your Father in heaven. Even though we don't believe that we can live the mark, he's telling us like we can. How do we do that? He directly compares us to the sun and to the rain. It respects no man. It just is. It just comes. And so when we have unconditional love for people, seeing past their religious belief, and we just treat them like we treat ourselves, then we're living like our Father in heaven that doesn't respect them based on their outer vocabulary, their religious beliefs, or whatever. It's just a universal presence that is. It respects, doesn't respect your ideas and thoughts in the sense that those things are going to matter or not, whether or not I love you unconditionally or not. And so when we begin to live like that, we live the mark, and then we live God out. We live the glory of God. That's what sin is, falling short of living or believing less than what you are. When you believe less, you produce less. And I'm recapping again. And so your thoughts create your experience, your thoughts create your reality. And Jesus gives us the highest possible thought to think about ourselves, that we are true children of God, that we are friends of God, and everything he does, we can do, and greater things. And so we have God in the flesh, a man fully realized in his potential of who he is and where he came from, empowering us to do the same thing and to know that we're greater than what we think we are, the highest possibility of who we could possibly be, which is he himself. That's who we are. He's giving us that invitation, saying, believe this. If you can't believe this about yourself, at least believe about me. Take on my identity. Take on my the way that I'm living. Take on my truth. Take on my life. Do what I do. In fact, greater things than these you would do. And he says that after he does a supernatural miracle, and they're like, oh, and this is like, are you so marveled at this? Greater things you would do. So he's empowering us with an identity of walking in God as children of God, being the visible representation of God, being the presence of God, which we are. But because we, like our Father in heaven, create through thought, God spoke and he created the world. The Holy Spirit came and manufactured it. We do the same thing as children of God. The device that I'm talking into right now started off in somebody's imagination. And then with effort and talking and working, we created a reality that binds us together with efficiency. And it starts with us thinking our thoughts. And so whatever it is, the house that you live in, the systems of thinking, our religions, it starts with someone thinking thoughts and formulating those thoughts, putting them together, and over with repetition, they begin to be our beliefs and they affect our behaviors from there. It's all thought. And God spoke this world into existence as he thought it was. And as children of God, we continue to do the same thing regardless of our religion. It can be in the worst possible case or it can be in the best possible case. And Jesus is an example of the best possible case of the highest reality. But it can be found in multiple places. because it's universal. It's not about who's more close or who's more right or who's more wrong. God is everywhere in all things. And so that's what I mean by Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It goes very much past those words. And when we walk in love, we're walking as one with our Father. When we treat other people like we want to treat ourselves, we're walking in love like our Father and doing what He does and doing and being children of God. And so it transcends this superficial reality that just calls us to be different and find our differences because of just one particular name. Jesus is bigger than the name, and His power and His presence and the love of the Father is bigger than some idea or religion or sect or cult. So I hope that makes sense. Thanks for listening, and I gotta go. Love you. Bye.